Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm Betty Jo Tucker, your host, and today, film critic Adam Hockery is back again, this time to join me in discussing Balls of Fury, an outrageous comedy starring Christopher Walken. Adam, who's one of my colleagues at RealTalkReviews.com, also hosts his own radio show for the University of Wisconsin at River Falls, where he's known as the Mad Movie Man. Hi, Adam. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back, Betty Jo. Thanks for inviting me.
You're certainly welcome. It's always such fun to have you as a guest. You know, Adam, after reading your review of Balls of Fury, I think we have very different reactions to the film. To me, combining ping pong with martial arts, plus my favorite, Christopher Walken, dressed up like a character out of The Mikado, was very funny just thinking about it. And yet you didn't seem impressed with most of the humor here. Now, I know we're going to talk about that later. So first, why don't you give our listeners a brief summary of the plot?
Well, Balls of Fury is sort of a sports spoof comedy, sort of in the vein of The Benchwarmers, Dodgeball, and Blaze of Glory, those recent movies. And the story revolves around a guy named Randy Daytona, played by Dan Fogler, who, as a kid, was a beloved icon in the unlikely sport of ping pong. but in the years after a nasty loss at the Olympics, Randy has become pretty much a worldwide joke, resorting to using his skills as a third-rate casino act. Redemption comes a-calling, though, in the form of an FBI agent, played by George Lopez, who needs Randy's help. A ruthless and underground gun runner named Feng, played by Christopher Walken, runs a secret ping pong tournament, and in order to put a lid on his operations for good, the government needs Randy to infiltrate the competition. And although he's a little rusty at first, Randy fine-tunes his skills with the teachings of a blind ping pong master, played by James Hong, and his fetching niece, played by Maggie Q, who was just seen earlier this summer in Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, that's right.
And so Randy prepares, and he prepares to face such opponents as a pair of conjoined twins and a psychotic German rival, played by Thomas Lennon, as he makes his way towards the final showdown against Fang.
That's a really excellent summary. I can't stop laughing just hearing what it's all about. And, you know, I just found the film very amusing. I thought some of those ping pong matches were hysterical, and I had such a good time watching, you know, the intensity of the ping pong players. They were all so colorful and diverse. Now, I know this isn't one of your favorite films, Adam, but what parts of the movie did work for you?
Well, obviously the best part was, as you said, Christopher Walken.
Yes.
Who just sort of emerges and makes Fu Manchu look underdressed.
You're so right about that.
He just has like that big giant hairdo and that cape that makes him look like a demented wizard. And just when he just walked out, I just started giggling. And so he definitely has that effect on me.
Well,
and,
you know, he always fascinates me. And I'm not sure why, but it's probably that weird inflection that he uses when he delivers his lines, and his voice is quite unusual. And, you know, no matter what film he's in, no matter how bad the film is, it's better as soon as he comes on screen. And I can't help thinking about Click. Remember that Adam Sandler?
Oh yes,
movie?
Yes.
It was really awful, except for Walken's time on camera. I wish he'd dance more in movies. I just love to watch him in musical numbers like the one he did in Hairspray. But I'm sorry to interrupt you. You were going to tell about some other things about the movie that worked for you, and then maybe go into some of the reasons that you weren't so impressed with it.
Well, the main reason, like I said, Christopher Walken was the best. And I did kind of laugh at Thomas Lennon as the East German rival of Randy Daytona. And movie fans out there might recognize him from Reno 911 Miami. He co-created that show. And
oh,
as well as
Lieutenant Dangle or the
yep.
Captain Dangle in the short shorts.
Yep, and he and Robert Ben-Gurion, who plays Deputy Junior on the show and in the movie, who also directed this movie, and together they also co-wrote Herbie Fully Loaded and Night at the Museum, so they're getting pretty up there in Hollywood. But I liked Lennon's performance, just kind of this really over-the-top, psychotic German that you've seen in a dozen movies, but he's pretty funny once in a while, but on the whole,
he was all buffed up. I mean, he was really buffed up for this, and the intensity, his body intensity was just absolutely incredible, didn't you think?
Yeah, it was really different after seeing him earlier in the Reno movie as Lieutenant Dangle, and then all of a sudden here he's all buffed up and on like he's on steroids.
And with a sort of a and blonde hair with kind of a crew cut.
Yeah.
Nazi crew cut. he almost stole the show as far as I'm concerned. But again, I'm interrupting you. Go ahead.
But yeah, on the whole though, I have to say I really was not impressed with Balls of Fury. I had hoped that just from the trailers that it would have been a better movie than it was, especially with Christopher Walken in the cast, but I don't know, maybe it's just because it arrived after so many of these other kind of sports comedies like Blades of Glory that are like becoming so, that are coming around so often and they're starting to get a little repetitive and that they're almost starting to become as cliched as the movies that they're trying to make fun of.
Well,
now,
that's
for
a good point.
And it really just didn't serve much in the realm of, like, really good jokes. It's like they have James Hong as the blind ping pong master. They pretty much just have him running into something or pointing in the wrong direction every 5 seconds, and that got pretty tiring really fast. And the structure was really predictable, like, in terms of jokes, even because the story borrowed so much from Enter the Dragon, the Bruce Lee martial arts masterpiece.
Yeah,
that
it's
just the same structure with a couple of jokes in there, but even you can tell, like, all right, here's where this joke is going to be, here's where that joke is going to be, and I tried to have fun, but it really disappointed me, I have to say.
And I had just the opposite opinion. Maybe I was in the mood to see this one, because I just sat there and practically laughed during the whole movie, and my husband did too, and sometimes he's pretty critical of these sort of goofy comedies, but he enjoyed it. I especially was impressed with the little girl who played the dragon.
Oh, yeah.
Ping pong player, and probably shouldn't say too much more about that, because that's kind of a surprise in the film that we should let people who haven't seen it discover for themselves. Well, how do you think this movie could have been improved?
I don't know. Maybe if it would have had more of a, hard to describe, but more of a self-aware sphere, because even though it did have some goofy moments in there, it felt like it was taking itself a little more seriously than it should have.
You think,
you know?
It could have been even goofier?
Yeah,
it might have been funny.
Yeah, if it had sort of made more fun of the sports movie cliches instead of just kind of taking them to heart and just adding a couple of gags here and there.
I didn't care for the leading man in this. I had some trouble with him, and I know I would have enjoyed the movie a lot more if someone like, well, not someone like, but if Jack Black had played the leading role instead of Fogler. I don't know how you feel about that, but it looked to me like a role that was just made for Jack Black, and maybe they just couldn't get him. But remember how great he was in Nacho Libre last year?
Exactly, that and the Tenacious D movie.
Yes.
He just had such fun, but here, Dan Fogler, he just really didn't do much. He just kind of screamed once in a while, but otherwise, he really wasn't funny. He's actually boring more than anything.
I think I'll have to agree with you about that, Adam. I don't know why he was cast in the lead in this, because he certainly doesn't have any charisma. So I'm just happy that there was a lot more going on that I enjoyed, so that I could kind of ignore the fact that I was not impressed with Dan Fogler.
I'm glad there was more for you to enjoy than
for me
to enjoy.
There wasn't a lot for you to enjoy. Well, anyway, you got to see a movie you did enjoy, which that pleases me whenever you see one that you do enjoy, and that was the remake of Halloween.
Yes.
Why don't you say a couple of words, we've got time, about that remake of the classic horror film.
Well, the best way to describe the new Halloween is that Rob Zombie's version of Halloween is to the original John Carpenter version of Halloween as Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is to Willy Wonka.
So they're both good.
Yeah, I love the originals, and if I had my way, the remakes would not have been done at all, but since they're here, and I watched them, and they're really not bad films at all. The new Halloween kind of puts a little bit of a different spin on it. The first one focused more on Jamie Lee Curtis's babysitter and set up a more very, very patient sort of tone in terms of suspense. It wasn't like your slash and dice slasher movie.
Well,
but,
you said in your review that you got to know Michael Myers more.
Yeah, that's the approach that Rob Zombie took here, like what he did in The Devil's Rejects. Technically, the heroes are the bad guys, weirdly enough.
Right, right.
But, this was definitely a lot more bloody, a lot more grungy than the original. So, like, people who grew up loving the John Carpenter Halloween, which hardly had any blood in it whatsoever, might be a little bit disappointed and a little bit mad, but I hope they overlook the flaws that it does have to realize that for a Halloween remake, it's actually not bad. It's even better than some of the sequels to the Halloween movies.
You've talked me into going to see Halloween, so we'll let you know how we like it.
Hope you're not disappointed.
Next couple of days. I wanted to be sure and ask you, I know you're back at college now, so when
mm-hmm.
will your Mad Movie Man radio talk show start up again?
Well, I still have to talk to the new program director to make it all official, but what we're shooting for, since I'm taking on a new co-host, Ken Weigand, is going to be an excellent addition to the show, hopefully we'll be ready by September 26th. We're switching to Wednesdays now, still at 5 o'clock Central Time. And if all is well, you'll hear it then. And if anyone out there wants to tune in, you can go to www.cureradio887.com and click on the icon there and be able to listen live around then. So stay tuned and see what happens.
We sure will. And now I see our time is almost up, so I want to be sure to thank you for returning to Movie Addict Headquarters. I think this is your third visit, Adam, and I hope it's not the last time you come on the show.
Thank you for having me back, as always.
It's a pleasure for us. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support in connection with the show, especially to Will Griffith and Nikki Starr for the great audio clip heard for the first time today at the beginning of the show. Special thanks to Adam Hockery and to everyone who listened live today or to the archive segments. Please come back again next time for a discussion of 310 to Yuma, which some critics are calling the best movie of the year. And remember to check out our movie reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Bye for now, Blog Talk Radio.